Good afternoon, and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Jill, who is here to speak with us about her experience of participating in the recent retreat readiness at the monastery. Welcome, Jill.
Thanks, Jen. I'm happy to be here.
Me too. And happy to talk about this topic. What fun, huh?
Gosh, I'm telling you, it's funny because, you know, it's a few weeks now, and I just was sitting here, you know, just really basking in the experience, even though it has already passed. It was a beautiful time to be at the monastery, for sure.
Yeah. So say more. The basking in the experience of, what did you see? What was that?
Well, I mean, I'm just a big fan of working, I guess.
I know exactly what you mean.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's nothing more fun to me than working with people I love, essentially. When having a project, seeing something, I don't know, it has its own power for in some ways. It's magical, and so I mean, this was an opportunity to go to the monastery, place that I love, see people I love, work in the privileged environment, which I find very supportive for practice, say hello to all of the buildings and all of the trees and all of the animals that I love, and be able to, attend to them in a way that just feels very fulfilling.
Yes, and that's what I project when you say you love to work. You know, I suppose someone could listen to you and kind of write that off as like, well, okay, so she had fun because she likes to work. I don't, you know. But I project what you're talking about is not that place of like, you know, sort of a, because I like being a martyr and I want it to, you know, I mean, I'm sure we all have, or some people have that conditioned place, certainly. Mm-hmm. But I project you're talking about something really different than that. That experience of rolling up your sleeves, in this case, literally, and just getting in there and participating. But that's mm-hmm. what I project you're talking about when you say you love to work.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, I get to encounter my work karma in this very supportive place. And also enjoy the participation element of this retreat, and also just enjoy the being with all of these buildings that I love. And, you know, I remember once standing in a hermitage and just really, I don't know, it really moves me to think about the practice that happens in there and the practice that I've done in hermitages and in the dorm rooms and all over the monastery. And, it's deep. It was deep.
It is deep. And it's such a, it's both a kind of a paying back. You know, Sherry talks about that place of, practice is a debt that could only be repaid with the same coin. So how many times someone has come before us to make that dorm bed, to you know, get the cobwebs out of the hermitage, to rake the path for us. So we get to give back, and we're paying it forward, that all the other people who are now going to come into that hermitage and to feel that sense of being cared for, and someone has put all of that care and attention into readying it for them.
That is, that just gives me goosebumps to think about. And, to contribute to everyone's practice and my own practice, just to contribute to practice in that way. What dropped in was, you know, when I first went to the monastery, and I don't know, I think during this retreat, I really felt the support of all the times I'd been there before. I think that really made the seeing, it was kind of extraordinary. I mean, I could talk for 2 days about what I saw there, what I experienced. You know, it just was like, it was deep. It was deep.
Well, I'm having the same experience listening to you, Jill, because every sentence you say in my experience, it goes off in like 13 different directions and all the insights that that points to. Yeah. You know, because back to that one of everything we're doing there is practice. It's all practice. And people talk about that when they come there, that they can feel that, you know. So it's not just like, okay, come on, let's get these hermitages ready. Let's get the, so we can get back to meditation. It's not that.
No.
It's all, right? It's all meditation. Mm-hmm. And so you participating in that is your practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, I mean, I'll just share one moment that sticks out, which is, you know, I had encountered something that was pretty, it just shook me a little bit. So I was feeling, someone was feeling angry and a lot of tears. And I was in the kitchen to help prepare. And I was like cutting peppers and I just thought, you know, tears are coming down. I just thought, I don't know what's going to happen here, you know. But there was something about that experience and just I just felt so held in it, and the privileged environment helped so much. And I just could not believe in an hour I felt I had moved through something, and there was all this joy that was there when it passed, and it that was just in 1 hour, you know.
That's right and such a good example of being all of it happening within the privileged environment gives you the space to have that experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So cooking one of the things you got to participate in.
Oh,
what were some of the other things that
was just really fabulous? Cooking. I mean, you listed some of them, which is kind of funny. I raked. I took out what felt like endless cobwebs. I painted a floor. I did some cleaning with some rag cleaning. What else did I do? Those are the things that come to mind for sure. But
just that. Well, each hermitage got that top down attention. You know what I just saw when you said the spider webs, Jill, is there's sort of two seasons, right? In the winter, the spiders get to live in the hermitage, and then in the summer, the humans inhabitate.
Yeah. And that was a real thrill too, just to be in a privileged environment, participating with other people who are working towards that same care and attention to things. And you know, I project that we all were feeling that, all of those different things. But it was a really amazing experience.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And I will say that we are in the very week of when we will be welcoming the first folks who will be the recipients of all of that care. Isn't that fun?
Oh, that is so fun to hear that. Yeah.
And one of the other places that got quite a bit of attention was the garden, and all that goes on out there, and how I think we've spoken recently about we've had an even deepening of our kitchen and our garden kind of working together. And so it's really fun to be going into retreat season with that garden flourishing and as beautiful as it is, and all of that fresh produce being brought to the back porch, washed, cooked, and put on the table. It's amazing. So, yeah.
Oh,
and it's just such
incredible.
An illustration of how it takes the whole Sangha. As Sherry said it many times during that week, and I think in other contexts, that there's just no way that the relatively small group of people who are in residence at the monastery could ever accomplish what's needed to accomplish to maintain that beautiful facility. And so that is all of our practice, to come and participate in that way.
Yeah, and I just flashed to when it was the work period and we're all assembled and we're all getting our work assignments, and everyone's got their gloves and their hats, and there's just this so much like, we're here, we're ready to practice, we're ready to do what is asked. And and it turned out to be the perfect, everything that was asked of me was the perfect thing at that moment.
That's the perfect thing, exactly.
It just is astounding, yeah.
Yeah, little army of awareness Ready to go. Ready, ready to go in whatever direction you send us, and every direction you send us is perfect.
Mm-hmm. That's what I experienced, and it's magical, as we said. It's magical.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Jill.
Anything else
you want to add in before we hand it over to Sherry and Michael?
No, but this was such a lovely conversation, and I just feel so much warmth and happiness, and am thinking about all the retreats over this coming season. Fantastic.
Heart opening. Thank you for your participation in the retreat and for being with us this afternoon.
My pleasure.
All right. Take good care. Thanks, Jill.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And we'll turn it over to you and Sherry, Michael.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Jill. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. Yeah, good. First of all, I want to say that I am on a different phone because there's been quite a bit of feedback recently that, and I'm not taking this personally. I'm not going to go to a place of thinking that the divine is giving me a message, but apparently I get really quiet here, which we know I don't. And so I hope people will let us know if I become inaudible at any point.
Yes. Well, I can tell you that I hear you really clearly and loudly right now. So that's good.
Good. Good. I'm going to stand here in this position by the window where the reception is the best. So one other thing before we hear about upcoming events, I couldn't believe that Jill didn't go into greater detail on that Hermitage floor because it was quite an adventure. And I don't want to give anything away because everybody's going to have to come here and see for themselves how really gorgeous things are. I was down yesterday. We were working on something else. And we stopped by that very Hermitage. Jill will have a picture of it in her mind. It is completely all put together. And I happened to hear the other day on one of the shows from the practitioner who is coming as a visiting monk is going to be in that Hermitage. And we all said, oh, there's going to be great excitement when this door opens. Yeah, it is beautiful. So Jill can know that all that hard work on that floor just went right up to the ceiling, and it is gorgeous. In fact, I'll see that we take some pictures and send them to her.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also an invitation to come see it in person on retreat.
Oh, yeah. Come back anytime, Jill, and anybody else. Yeah. And that's the one that we really did so much. I mean, there were three or four that we did a great deal of work on, and that's one of them. And it's always been one of my favorite hermitages anyway. So to see the transformation is fabulous. But they're all very, very cute. So if somebody hasn't been here in 5 years, I think you wouldn't recognize the place.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. So see, yeah, how's that for a come on, is that what it is? Something of that.
Well, a compelling story that we can hear very clearly thanks to your new phone.
Oh, good, good. All right. So what else is coming up that people can come here and stay in one of these fabulous hermitages and see how cute they are?
Okay, well, before they come to the monastery, they can come to Center in the San Francisco Bay Area, where we are offering body awareness one-on-one sessions this Saturday, April 28th. Uh-huh. These sessions will focus attention on how we sit, stand, and walk so we can shift patterns of movement to mindful ways of supporting the body. And to register, go to the center webpage at livingcompassion.org.
And Michael, I know we talked on the during the day on Saturday about people yeah. being able to work with Beth remotely. Is that a possibility with this, or are these in person? Do you know? Do you have to be in person?
That's a great question. My understanding is that they were initially intended to be in person, and okay. I don't know if anything's shifted since your conversation on Saturday.
Okay, good. Well, somebody is listening and will let us know. We can count on that, can't we? Yeah.
Yes. We have great support.
We do. Yeah.
Yes. Practice weekends at the monastery offer an opportunity to deepen support for awareness practice in the beautiful grounds of the Zen Monastery Peace Center in Murfreesboro, California. These weekends include a practice activity and guidance with you, Sherry, or Ashwini. Mm-hmm. A practice weekend is coming up May 25th through 27th.
Mm-hmm. An opportunity, perhaps, to stay in an adorable little hermitage.
Yes, with great weather, I'm sure.
Oh, so beautiful. Yeah. Yeah, it's weed eater season, right? So it's been so, we've had so much rain and everything is so green and gorgeous. And, the grasses are starting to be knee-high. And it is an exquisite time.
Got it. The powerful There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat is a chance for participants to see directly how we are rejected and punished by the voices of self-hate and to discover how to let that go. This foundational work is challenging, joyous, scary, and loving, and among the most important work you will ever do. Retreats are coming up June 23rd through 30th and July 7th through 14th.
And they do tend to fill up fast.
Yes. And you can listen to an interview with you, Sherry, on the podcast called The One You Feed by going to sherryhuber.com and clicking on interviews. Yes. And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And a few reminders for today's show. If you'd like to talk with Sherry, you can make guest show to indicate that desire by pressing *6 and then 1. And a conversation on one topic that's about 5 minutes in length is great. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think we're ready, Sherry.
I think so. Sounds like it.
Okay, here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, hello, Michael. Hello, Sherry. This is Goli.
Hey, Hi, Goli.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm happy to be here. How are you?
Great. Also happy to be here.
Well, I'm excited to be talking to you. What I've been noticing in the last little while is that there's this constant feeling of something being wrong. And and when I look at it, there's really, as far as I can figure out, there's nothing wrong. You know, I get up, I'm going to work, I have 3 square meals. And I just can't seem to shake that feeling of, you know, like this constant anxiety of something being wrong and not knowing what I have to do to fix it.
Well, I have an idea or two.
Yes, I'm hoping you would.
Because that is, that is such an important place to get to in practice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because what you're getting to see is it's just a feeling. Mm-hmm. It's just a sensation or a combination of sensations in the body. It doesn't it doesn't connect to anything. Mm-hmm. Right? And so people are made miserable, as you can probably recall. People take medications. People do all kinds of things based on the belief that those feelings mean there's something wrong. And, of course, as you know, conditioned mind is happy to fill in endless stories about what that is. Mm-hmm. But you've been practicing long enough that you know those stories aren't true. You look around and you realize, no, it's not true. There isn't anything wrong. Yeah. So I don't know if I've ever told you this story, but when I was in, I freely admitted to anyone who came along that I have what's known as a checkered past, right? So guilt, I was not a stranger to guilt. And I'd been in the monastery for I don't know how long, leading the purest kind of life anybody could ever hope to lead. And I woke up in the morning and I felt guilty. And I got it. That it was just a habit. And, of course, at that point, I probably didn't even have the language for it's just karma or it's just conditioning. But I realized it doesn't have anything to do with me or my life. It's just not true.
Right. But it's, and I do, when I listen to you, I agree and I get that, but it's just so compelling.
Yes.
To me. You know, and I've been running around, and you know what happens is that then I think rather than trying to fix it, I run around distracting myself from that. And then after a while, you know, the distractions become exhausting, like constantly being out and constantly working and constantly eating.
Yes.
I mean, you know, I'm not 20 anymore, so that catches up with me.
That's right. And so you know what we do instead, right? So you have recordings that you make and that you listen to that remind you, I have these sensations that happen in my body. They're an old habit. They don't have anything to do with anything. They don't mean anything. And then you can go through what is true for you, just like you did with us. There isn't anything wrong. I have a great life. I go to work. I like my work. I have I have people in my life. I get to eat good food. I get to exercise. I have a great life. It's not true that there's something wrong. It's just an old habit. It's conditioning. And every time that comes up, then it reminds me to come back to what is true. I have a great life. There isn't anything wrong. And Goli, I promise you, it will change. It will go away because the only thing keeping it in place is that you believe it and you start trying to get away from it. And it's trying to get away from it that is perpetuating it.
Yes, I see that. I do.
Yeah. And it'll take a little while, but it can be fun. You know, it can be fun to watch for it, to watch for the sensations, to watch for that story, and then now you're training yourself to, no, now wait a minute, that's not true, and you tell yourself the story again of what is so, and you're wearing away that karmic groove. So, you know, in the world of psychology or psychiatry or whoever it is, neuro whatever it is, I guess, a lot of studies have been done that prove that what we're talking about here is true. So you've got this groove, right? You've got this groove in the brain that says that sensation means there's something wrong and now I have to try to distract myself and get all freaked out. And And if you turn your attention the way we're describing, you will actually create another pathway, and that old pathway will fall into disuse and go away. Yeah. Their brain scans to prove it. Yeah. So it just takes a little while. It's taken us a long time to get these grooves as deep as they are, right? And so it'll take us a little while to get some new grooves in place. But it'll happen. And Goalie, while you're running around falling for the distraction, you could still be talking to yourself. Right? You can still, on your way to work, on your way to the movies, on your way out to dinner, as you're eating dinner, if you're by yourself, wherever you're going, you can be in a conversation about there's nothing wrong. And as you do that, the push toward distraction will also begin to fall away because you'll be content to be where you are. Okay.
Homework is to constantly be reminding myself that there is nothing wrong.
That's right. Make those recordings, listen to those recordings. Start appreciating, noticing every single thing in your life that you enjoy, that you appreciate. Every time you look out at a tree and realize how beautiful it is, remind yourself, tell yourself, this is one more proof that there's nothing wrong. I have to leave this beauty to get into a story of something wrong. I don't want to leave this beauty. I want to be here with this beauty.
Will do. You know me.
Right.
I like homework. So thank you.
I know you do. You like to give it and you like to get it. So this is going to happen. All right. Thanks, Goalie.
Thank you very much. Yes, you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Goalie. Sherry, what I enjoyed about that conversation is it just seemed like fundamental practice. I call in, talk about what I'm seeing, talk about how I'm being bamboozled, get some guidance, and I head off in a new direction.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all practice is, isn't it? We just get together and reassure one another that we're okay. We're okay, and we're going in a good direction here.
Yeah.
And the egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is not more. It's just not. And it doesn't matter.
It's not what?
It's not more powerful. Uh-oh. Did it happen?
Yeah, you're okay. It was just very brief.
Oh, okay. All right. So no matter what the circumstances are, egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is not more powerful than life. All we need to do is get here. As soon as we get here, then okay, I'm all right. Now, take a breath and what now?
Yes. Great. Okay, let's talk to our next caller.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry. Hey, Michael. It's Jodine in San Francisco.
Hey, Jodine.
Hi, Jodine.
What are you up to?
Well, it's funny. This is my second Sangha call today. And what I wanted to contribute this morning was picked up and everybody else talked about it, so I didn't need to be on. And then I decided that I have to extract the archive of that particular show because it would be one that would be good for me to hear a lot. And then also the conversation you just had is very, very similar, I think, to what was kind of on my mind, and And what I was calling about was this really interesting kind of Sangha experience I've been having maybe over the last week or so, where conditioning has been dragging my attention into places I don't really want to go to.
Mm-hmm.
But then, because I have a lot of distance things going on with Sangha, you know, pretty soon it'll be time for a call.
Uh-huh.
And the really interesting part of that I just saw really, really clearly, especially this past Saturday, was, you know, I can be in a story, you know, it can be ancient. It can be an ancient story, but I'm not seeing it, you know, as such. Mm-hmm. I'm all consumed in it, identified in it. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, oh, it's time for a call. And mm-hmm. and my experience on Saturday was that, of course, my attention was drawn into wonderful places by all the workshops and on all the discussions. And then at the end of the day, I just felt like busting out. You know, I was like, you know,
Whee!
Dancing around the dark.
Right.
And then I just like, somehow I was like, hey, didn't I feel kind of, you know, yucky this morning?
Mm-hmm.
Not to like drag me back there, but then there was just the realization, maybe just like really getting it. You know, I just want my attention on life.
Uh-huh.
Right? That's how we talk about it, right?
Yes. Yeah. I want to be here. Don't want to be in an ancient story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the and somehow the other kind of thing that was really interesting was that this kind of little stretch of feeling bad that I was going through, it seems like that it was what we talk about as a backlash, where I had just achieved kind of a red letter, big sticker day in my things that I'm working on. I picked up the best year yet again for the first time in a long time this year, and I had just achieved one of my goals in my major focus.
Wow!
For best year yet this year. Thank
uh-huh.
you.
Uh-huh.
And I experienced this giant backlash the next day.
Yeah,
but it was, and I didn't see it as that at first, but it was basically, you know, just, you know, the other caller was saying, something's wrong. She's in the story. Something's wrong, no matter mm-hmm. that everything's right is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, my thing was like, I feel bad. I feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Same process, right? Just different.
Yeah, it's like that's my content. It's
mm-hmm.
like, you know, conditioning is used to being able to make me feel really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I start to feel good, you know, what's its go to? You know, the go-to is, God, you feel bad.
Yeah. 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 So you have a big success, and what it goes to is backlash to try to get you into the old story of feeling bad. Even though, a la mm-hmm. a conversation with Goalie, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing to feel bad about. But it's always
mm-hmm.
been able to pull you into something imaginary. And now it can't. I mean, it might be successful periodically, but by and large, no, it can't.
Yeah, well, I guess what it was, it was close enough to the feeling really good that I was told you feel bad, that I saw it as imaginary. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, oh my God, this is totally made up.
You can imagine how much I love to hear that, right? Yes, we can talk about it all the time. But in that moment of, I see it. There's just nothing like that, is there?
You know, it's just like, oh, it's like somebody pulls the rug out, or you see that you've been living your life through a looking glass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I want to tell you something that I find really inspiring about this whole thing that you've told us about this evening, and that is two things. So what you said is you get pulled into these places, and then you have a commitment with practice, and you come out of it, right? You come out of that place because, oh, it's time for virtual meditation, or it's time for my reflective listening buddy call, or whatever it is that you're doing, right? So two things about that are completely inspiring. One, that you sign up for those things so that you have a chance of being pulled out of that feeling bad place. And number two, mm-hmm. that you keep your commitment.
Well, both of those things are things I've had to work through practice.
Yes. And so let's add that to the congratulations, giant success. list, okay. Hopefully
big
not
sticker.
To get off the backlash. Yeah, because that's how it gets us, right? We don't sign up. Oh, you don't need to do that. Or you did that before. You're too busy. You can't do that. Then if you're foolish enough to go against those voices and go ahead and sign up, you know, you're distracted and you forget, or you're talked out of doing it, you're too tired, or you have this other thing that came up that's more important or that you want to do instead. So the sabotage and going along with it, getting bamboozled and falling for it, that's how egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate wins most of the time with most people. So mm-hmm. congratulations.
Oh, well, thank you.
Well, you're welcome.
Wonderful to get through and talk with you. So I at least have this, so I can share this in a Sangha place that I can also access again. And of course, I can record for myself.
And, right, that's right. Listen to this a lot, especially in those times when that system is trying to talk you into feeling bad. Because here's proof positive. There's nothing to feel bad about.
Yes, yes. And I'll also say, the last thing I'll say is that when it hit me, like, is this backlash? I started recording, like, a couple times a day about it for the next couple of days. And then I listened to those through and through, you know, a number of times, and that helped me get it, like, because the person who was talking a lot in those recordings was the person who had been snatched, the body snatched person, right? And then I could listen to that and say, oh, this is just like the inventory of my fears, you know, like how often do we need to hear that again, you know?
I think I've heard that. Thank you very much.
So I think that is one of the things about recording and listening, because we are dealing with, you know, it's this light room, dark room thing, mm-hmm. Where without a record of it, you know, it's really, really helpful to have it on tape and then listen to that and just go, oh my God.
Yes. And to be wise enough that when we're in a difficult place, to know this is when I need to I need to focus the recordings on this, and I need to listen to them all the time, because this is the place where it's got me now. And so this is what as soon as the backlash is over, then we'll move back into whatever else is going on. But right now, this is the focus. Yeah, it doesn't have a chance when we come at it like that. All right. Thank you, Jodine.
Great. Thanks so much.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jodine. And Sherry, I really appreciated your reflection around making commitments to practice and then keeping those commitments. It feels like it's a way to box out conditioning from it.
Yes. Yeah, it's closing the, so you've got mosquito season, right?
Yeah.
And you're going around closing up all the places where they can get in. That's what this is doing with conditioning.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, and Michael, while I have you, I did get a text saying that Beth can do distance appointments. You got that one too? Yeah. And apparently always people, she's available to do that. So I would really recommend anybody who has questions about sitting posture, about breathing, in anything related to meditation, and then, of course, yoga, just whatever is going on with the body, she can help us.
Yes, great. And I got information that the best way to follow up is to send an email to center@livingcompassion.org.
Good.
People are interested in those body awareness sessions with Beth.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Michael.
Sure, you're welcome. And Sherry, we are going to hear from Zen Awareness Coaching, and then we will be back to talk with more callers.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
How we do anything is how we do everything, which is very good news because seeing through one conditioned process reveals it everywhere. Zen Awareness Coaching uses tried and true practices like recording and listening, process mapping, and weekly practice commitments to take the mystery out of ego's bamboozles. If you have ever attended a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat and are tired of getting caught in the same old suffering processes, Zen Awareness Coaching is for you. To request a coach, email zenawarenesscoach@livingcompassion.org. That's zenawarenesscoach, all one word, @livingcompassion.org. Getting a coach will support you in making the anything and everything of your life exactly what the heart desires.
Welcome back to Open Air.
Why, Michael, that's what practice offers us, right? It offers us the way to anything our heart desires.
Yes.
I mean, I know I've heard that, but I've just never heard that. It's really quite extraordinary.
Yes, mm-hmm. Extraordinary. It's a very, the whole thing.
Yeah, it's a lovely definition of what we're doing here.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I love that part of it that says that revealing one conditioned process reveals it everywhere.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I wish for everybody that experience of feeling like Sherlock Holmes or grown-up Nancy Drew or I don't know who these people are, but how do we get to have the deepest desire of our heart? Well, practicing awareness. That's how, and then being excited about that, seeing how it works, moving to resolving that, resolving that. Okay, I see that. Okay, I get that. All right, next. What now?
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, I will. This is Carol from Port Townsend. Well, hello.
Carol.
Hi. Yeah, so the deepest desire of my heart, I think that is connection with myself and other people. And I've just been experiencing that a lot lately and feeling part of Sangha, and it's very terrific.
It really is, isn't it? And it's
it is.
Not the grim, grisly, hideous process that those voices in our head would like us to believe.
No. No, feeling connected is definitely not.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing that I've been practicing with, I put a lot of notes up around my home, and then sometimes they get old, and, you know, I don't even notice them anymore. So now I've taken them to, I put them on the inside of a cupboard, and that way when I open the cupboard, I see something, and it's like, oh, so they don't get old, and it's delightful. So that's a fun thing
so
to do.
That's a fun practice right there, isn't it? So I mm-hmm. stop seeing something. Well, then where am I going to put it so that I will see it? Then that brings a lot of attention to it. And then for a while, I see it. And then I stop seeing it. So where shall I put it now so that I'll
yeah.
see it? Then that
yeah.
process itself is what we're going for, right?
The process of... Of being minded?
Yeah, of realizing that I get distracted, I stop seeing something,
uh-huh.
and so I want to stay on top of it. It's what we talk about sometimes with inspiration. You know,
mm-hmm.
always finding something that's inspiring, because inspiration, when we're inspired, that feeling of is kind of what we're going for, right? Because it happens when we're here. We have that experience when we're here. And so staying in that game, if you will, of moving this to a place where I'll see it, that's engaging in conscious, compassionate awareness consciously.
Yeah. Now that you're speaking of conscious, compassionate awareness, it's been like a rote thing. Okay, everybody says that all the time. And then I had an experience, I don't know, in the last week or something, where I just felt the compassion, I got the compassionate part of it, you know,
mm-hmm.
not just awareness, mm-hmm. but awareness with compassion, and it was just...
Uh-huh. Everything everybody says, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and you know. That points us to another important process. Conditioned mind goes, oh my God. In fact, people have said that, you know, if they say go happy again, I'm going to stop listening to this, you know. And of course, that kind of reaction could be a big clue that ego has just gotten
mm-hmm.
hold of the microphone, right?
Mm-hmm.
But to realize that we do need to hear things over and over. And, you know, there's a Korean, I suppose he's dead now. He must be, because he was old when I first encountered him. Only don't know. That was
mm-hmm.
his, that was what he talked about. Only don't know. Only don't know mind. Only
mm-hmm.
don't know. I mean, it was pretty much the only thing he said. Because it was the most important thing. And for the people who would stay with it and go, you know, he wouldn't be saying this constantly if it weren't really important. And I probably actually don't know what he's saying. So I'm going to see if I can stay with this until I get what he's saying. Right?
Yeah.
And then you
yeah.
get the compassion part and go,
oh. Right.
Lovely.
Yeah. It's all good. And I do appreciate the repetition over and over again.
Oh, yeah. It's essential, isn't
well,
it? Otherwise, you just wander off. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, when we realize that what we're talking about is coming to presence, then how could we ever get tired of anything
mm-hmm.
that had the ability to bring us to presence?
Yeah. Something someone said about on the radio show this morning, I can't remember it exactly, but it was something like life unfolding or life living us. So that's
mm-hmm.
another thing I've heard before. And all of a sudden, it just kind of sunk in. It's like, oh, no effort required.
Uh-huh.
no planning, uh-huh. no worrying about control. It's just it's just like trust, you know, it's going to live me. It's like all this mind stuff and efforting, you know, I don't need to do that. I can be more childlike.
Yes. Jesus said, must become as little children. Don't
yeah.
we suspect that's what he was talking about? Little children are, not all little children, obviously, because every time I say this kind of thing, somebody's out there going, well, I wasn't happy when I was a child, or what about abused children? For the most part, children are happy
mm-hmm.
because they don't think they should be in control, because they don't even know what power is. They, you know, it's just be here for whatever happens.
Yeah.
That innocence.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Now we get to have that innocence with the wisdom aspect that life offers us.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the compassion, the wisdom, and the innocence, and when those all come together, whew, delight.
Yeah.
Bliss.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you very much, Sherry, and thank you, Michael.
Well, you are so welcome. Lovely to hear from you.
Take care.
Go happy. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Carol. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Judy.
Hello, Judy.
Hey, Judy.
Hello, I'm so glad I got on because I've been, I think I've been bamboozled.
No. No. What happened?
I sent a request to somebody, and the voices immediately said, oh my gosh, no. They're going to say no, and then
you have to die.
Yeah, the earth is going to open up, and then you'll get swallowed up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm, mm-hmm. And did they say anything, or is this current?
I haven't checked.
Uh-huh.
There's
yeah.
this fear about checking.
Mm-hmm.
This,
what do you think that's about?
Complete irrationality.
Yeah.
About
maybe they won't say no. Maybe you won't die.
Yeah.
Maybe you won't die.
Uh-huh. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Possibly. And since we're doing the how you do anything, it's how you do everything retreat, I was paying a lot of attention on, okay, how does this play out? Because this is how I do everything. And I really enjoyed just being with it and not trying to distract myself or ignore it or pushing it under.
Mm-hmm. So you recognize that this is not the first time this has happened.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And
yep.
that you also were aware, because you've been practicing for a while, that this is your chance to really see it clearly each step of the way.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes, this is another opportunity to see how I cause myself to suffer so I can drop that
mm-hmm.
into suffering. Thank you
mm-hmm.
for another opportunity because I'm so ready. I'm so ready for it.
That's, you know, that what's funny about that is before practice and, you know, whatever, not just this practice, but practice, right, before we're practicing, we live in dread of something
mm-hmm.
happening. Oh, God, I just hope nothing happens today. Hope nothing happens
mm-hmm.
today. We start practicing and get to a place that you're describing. Okay, I see. This has been going on for my whole life. I'm
mm-hmm.
I'm ready to face it. I really want to see this. I want to see this. I want to see through it. I want to get to the other side. I want to put paid to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that now you're waiting. It's like, Yeah. Give me another opportunity, please.
And I recorded about it, talked to the mentor about it. That was really helpful to get it out, disidentify from it, not be it, not be the fear, right? Watching it instead of being identified with it.
Instead of it having you, you're stepped back watching what it does, which dramatically changes everything, doesn't it?
Even during the times when I go along, at least I know that I made the choice to go along. Like,
yes.
Maybe I'm not ready, or, you know, I don't know what.
Yeah. And do you notice that it's harder for that system to do what it does when you're watching it?
It gets more entrenched. I think it digs its heels in. Like, this is really serious, you know, just piles it on, the drama.
And you're watching.
You better believe it this time.
And then you get through to the other side, and the best it's got is, okay, all right, well, you made it through this time, but you just wait. Next time, right? Next time, it's not going to go so well for you. You just go,
It'll be really serious.
Yeah. Could we have that next time tomorrow, please, so that we can, get on with this workshop?
I know. So it feels uncomfortable at the same time as waiting for liberation.
And could you call that uncomfortable something else? Interesting? Could it ever be exciting or that you're in kind of an anticipation?
Excitement.
Or excitement? Yeah. Kind of why people go to scary movies. Woo! You feel really alive.
Right. Or right before, you know, opening a present or something.
Yeah. Stepping up to the mic.
Ooh, yeah.
Lots of energy.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. I love practice, don't you?
So it's so everywhere and so perfectly timed.
Isn't it?
Exactly what we
need. Yeah. You know, I guess it's all, well, I don't know if it's New Testament and Old Testament, both, but that whole idea that God knows how many feathers there are on every sparrow and how many hairs on every head.
On your head,
Yeah. You know, and we can see where people get that. It's getting to that place of, this is so perfect. It's all so perfect all the time. Just the right thing shows up at just the right time. And it's not that everybody sees it that way, obviously. But when you do see it that way, it is, it'll make a person religious.
Relaxing and just flowing with the river, you know.
Yeah.
Enjoying
the ride. Exactly. Yeah. All
Lovely.
Right. We'll keep enjoying.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Talk
Judy.
To you later.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Judy. And Sherry, I think we have time for at least one more caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Chrissy from North Carolina.
Hey, Chrissy.
Hey, Chrissy.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. How was reentry?
Oh, wow. Well, it was great at first. Well, that's really what I'm calling you about. I can't believe I got on. Wow. So I just wanted to thank you, first of all, for the retreat because, it's just really good for my soul.
Uh-huh.
I did get back, and I think I mentioned to you that I've been wrestling with some karma with my relationship with my husband, and suddenly I just feel like I'm being controlled by egocentric karma conditioning self-hate. Like I'm really literally being controlled. And I've been practicing through it by doing recording and listening and listening to old recordings and listening to the show and, everything I can possibly do right now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just got a pretty good grip on me.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just, yeah.
Well, I will say it's not as big a grip as it would like to have on you because we're talking.
That's true.
Yeah. So it wants you to believe that, boy, your ship is sinking fast and, the worst is right around the corner. Get every metaphor we can in here. And yet you are paying attention. You're watching. You're seeing this happening. And
yeah.
You're practicing through it, right?
Yeah.
Within it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when you say it's controlling you, what can you say a little more about that?
Well, he travels a lot, and that's part of the whole deal is with my conditioning is him traveling and all this other stuff that comes up with that, and him having this busy, engaging life, and I kind of am here at home, a lot with the kids. And basically when he calls me, I will say something that I should, that should not be said, that's not going to call.
You know, it's a match to a bonfire.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I just keep doing it, even though I'm practicing. Like, if I listen to my recordings right before, like, I'll wait and call him back. If I listen to the recordings right before, I can redirect my attention long enough. But then there are times when I really feel like I'm being fake because,
that's
Chrissy,
be fake. Go ahead. Go ahead and be fake.
Okay, that's
yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because you're doing what you really want to do. You know, only those voices that are trying to talk you into disaster are going to call your efforts to be in your relationship the way you'd like to be in your relationship fake.
Yeah.
Okay. So you can see that those voices are really trying to destroy your life.
They are really trying to destroy my life, and it's just bringing up so much fear. You know, like, what am I doing? You know, and it's not me, I know, but I step back from it, and I see it, and I'm like, what, why? I have it, I have it good. I have a good life. And
well, Chrissy, It's not you. Were you here for Goli starting us out with there's nothing wrong or Jodine, there's no reason to feel bad?
I didn't get to hear most of the show, actually.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah,
you go back and listen to it
because
we started out talking about that, getting to that place of being really clear that ecosystem, that's not me. It has the ability to distract, to take over. Jodine used the body snatcher image. You know, it just
exactly.
comes in, takes over, and starts talking through your mouth. And it's like, but you know that it's not you. Now, here's the question. Can you tell him that?
Can I? I'm sorry.
Tell your husband that.
When I do, I'm not trying to throw him under the bus, and he'll say things like, "Well, you've got this practice; it doesn't seem to be working."
And can you say, know? "Thank you, honey. That's really not supportive right now. What I'm trying to tell you is, I want to be loving, and I keep getting getting taken over. You know, it's not going to be a good idea to point out to him that the same thing just happened to him, right? He got taken over and said something really unfortunate too. We all do, but you know, we're working on ourselves, not on one another." But if he, you know, at least if he knows that you are doing your best to work with this, then when you apologize, and you will, because we were fine apologizing, and come back and say, you know, I didn't mean to say that. What I meant to say is, or what I want you to know is, you know, it kind of gives an opening for both of you to be all right.
Mm-hmm. Until and
until you get a grip on this, which you will.
It feels.
And it's not true that your practice isn't working. Again, if it weren't working, you wouldn't be in the place you are, seeing what you're seeing and being able to articulate it. And it is working. It just doesn't work as quickly as we wish it did.
No, it doesn't. But it's been a process. It's been a process, it seems like, since I've been able to have a relationship, since I've been old enough to have a relationship. So, this has come up. And then it just kicks into gear and it can get really bad.
Nasty.
Yeah,
ugly. Well, you know, most relationships end in leaving. They do. And we can see why. I talk about it as egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is a jealous lover. It wants, you know, it wants all our attention all the time. It doesn't want anybody else there, doesn't want anybody interfering. Everyone and everything else is its enemy, and it's working to cause as much suffering as possible. And so that's what you're getting to see.
Yeah, I heard on a previous show that you compared it with a young woman who's sort of dealing with it's all the same, really, when you look at the process, but you called it like an addiction, and to me, that's what it feels like. It literally feels like I'm addicted to some sort of drug that I can't, you know, it's just so hard to break free. It feels like I literally feel like I feel like steel bars are over me. Like it's so hard to not let these, you know, thoughts like take over. And it's just a tough thing.
So here's a little fun thing that you might try. So you said that if you can get to your recorder and get back to center, then you can sort of be all right through the call. So what you might do is make the recording, and it can be a very simple recording. You know, I just want to stay here. I just want to be kind. I want to listen. I want to, you know, whatever it is for you, however you want to be on this call with your husband. You make that recording, make it as long as you can. You know, just stay here. Just keep breathing. Just stay focused. Just listen. You're doing great. You're doing, you know, whatever it is for you. Put one earbud in with that going, and then talk to him through either another earbud or the phone or, you know, however you do that. And just have that reassuring reminder recording playing constantly, just at a low enough level that it doesn't distract you, but it comforts you, it soothes you, and helps you get back to center and stay there.
That's a really good idea. I think I'll try that. It's funny you say that, because I actually thought about doing that, because I had my reporter when he called today, and I was like, I should probably put one earbud in, but I didn't do it.
Well, see there.
Yeah, that's
that was good intuition, wasn't it? Yeah, you're getting good guidance. You're in good hands, right? The mentor's watching out for you.
Yep.
Okay.
That's good to know.
Good.
Yep.
All right. Well, let me know.
Thank you so much.
Stay in touch.
Okay.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Right. Bye bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Chrissy. And Sherry, I heard a lot of courage, a lot of willingness.
Woo!
It's great.
Woo! It really is. Gutsy.
Yes.
Gutsy practice.
Gutsy.
For everybody. You
gutsy.
Know, we're anybody who takes this on, who goes up against egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, which will tell us what a lousy job we're doing at this, it is the most courageous thing that any human being can ever do. And never to let ourselves forget that.
Yes, yes, and to for each of us to hear it in the rest of Sangha is just so supportive and inspiring.
Yeah, because one of us is doing it, and then that, I want to do that, it just inspires us to put more effort in.
Yes. Yes, and the last thing I want to say, Sherry, is that your phone sounds fabulous. You sound loud and clear, and clear as a bell, and it's great.
Well, I'm on it. I'm using earbuds, and I'm holding the earbud into the phone, and I have found a place with two bars. So, we're striving towards success.
That's great. All right. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Michael.
Okay.
Take care.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Take
Good
care.
Night.
Bye.